This is Vatican Radio. I'm Tracy McClure. The deaths of hundreds of migrants in shipwrecks off the Italian island of Lampedusa over the past 2 weeks were a key issue at the heart of Pope Francis's meeting on Monday with the Director General of the International Organization for Migration, William Lacey Swing. In an interview with me following his meeting with the Pope in the Vatican, Ambassador Swing told me that he thanked the Pope for his strong and continued engagement on behalf of migrants.
I started the conversation by thanking him for his strong and continuing engagement in behalf of migrants and other vulnerable people. I recalled a very brief conversation I had at the time of the papal mass on the 13th of March in connecting poverty and migration. I thanked him in particular for being the first pope to visit Lampedusa and also to have done it within a very short time after his pontificate began. I told him I would be going to Lampedusa tomorrow and on Wednesday be there to try to see for myself the situation and make some assessments as to what we might be able to do with our other partners in supporting both helping the migrants and helping the officials there to manage the situation humanely and effectively.
Pope Francis spoke about the globalization of indifference during that trip to Lampedusa this past summer. In a way, he's put a face, a human face, on the migrant today. Was the migrant invisible before that trip, before we've seen all of these terrible, tragic shipwrecks off the coast of Italy?
I certainly share his view. He was very critical of all of us in the international community, and I confess that we haven't done enough. We have, for whatever reason, we have begun to, much of the industrialized world has become much more suspicious of migratory movements, when in fact most of these, so many of these people are actually needed in order for skills to be available and jobs to be filled and economies to flourish. So I said to him that I thought his criticism was well placed and would be useful to all of us as we look at what we're doing. I mean, we have, the International Organization for Migration has for many, many years been working on the problem of human trafficking. We've trained probably thousands and thousands of officials on this. We have given assistance and support to many thousands of victims of trafficking. We run shelters throughout the world. We run information campaigns to try to convince people not to put themselves into the hands of traffickers. And we have tried to press for more prosecutions of the traffickers. But with all of that done, there's room for a lot of honest doubt as to whether we've really made any significant difference. So what I'm saying is that criticism is well placed, and we all have to try harder, particularly to overcome indifference to a situation that continues.
You mentioned human trafficking. The Catholic Church has many people working in that area to try to stop it, to try to put out information to people so they don't fall into that trap.
Right.
How have you worked with the Catholic Church or organizations that might be of a religious in nature?
Well, I also mentioned to Pope Francis today how much we appreciated the good relationships that we've developed with so many Catholic institutions. We've just done a training course for about 450 sisters, nuns around the world in about 30 countries on this whole question of how to deal with trafficking and how to support the victims of trafficking. It's an ongoing training program. We'll continue to do that. But we also work very much with the International Union of Superiors General. We work with the International Catholic Migration Commission. We work with the Scalabrinis, the Capuchins, Catholic Relief Service, and many others, and with the several of the pontifical councils. In fact, I'm coming back here on the 2nd of November at the invitation of the Pontifical Council for the Protection of Migrants and Itinerants to take part in a conference on human trafficking. So we're very pleased with that relationship. And as you know, the Holy See became a member of IOM in the year 2011. So it's a good relationship.
Now, you mentioned that you're going down to Lampedusa yourself. We've seen a number of European Union representatives go down there as well. We've also seen several proposals coming out of how to stem this flow of migration into southern Europe in particular. Some of the things that were mentioned were maritime patrols off the coasts of southern Europe to assist incoming migrants, creating safe passage maritime corridors, patrolling the ports of origin. What level of coordinated international cooperation must there be in order for all of this to work?
Well, I think these are very important proposals that were made in the wake of President Barroso's and Commissioner Cecilia Malmström's visit. We will be speaking even today with them to see how we might be supportive of these measures. I think the primary, the top priority right now has to be saving life. I think life-saving measures that can be taken. And then the others, of course, will be how do we support these migrants once they come ashore. But getting them on shore is important. There needs to be much more dialogue, of course, between countries of origin, transit, and destination. I think all of that is foreseen in these measures. So the EU has been one of our most important partners over many years. So we'll be seeing, starting a conversation now to see what we can do to support that, because we have people in most of the countries that are involved in these migrant movements.
How important is the country of origin in all of this?
The country of origin is very important because one has to kind of analyze what are the reasons that people choose to risk their life on the high seas to leave. Is there something more that could be done there to support them? And I think there we all have to look more closely at our aid programs to see what can be done to support particularly livelihoods, livelihood creation, job creation, and that sort of thing. This is why we're very heavily engaged in a number of these countries of origin to try to support capacity building for the government, livelihoods creation, better public services, all the things that go into making a better life. But that's part of the solution, clearly.
It's a time of economic crisis globally. Here in Europe, the migrant often is seen as someone who's going to steal my job. How are you working to integrate people once they're here, and how are you working with the various countries?
This all falls in the area of what I would call migrant mythology. That's one of the myths you just mentioned. They're coming to take our jobs. Another myth is that somehow they're bringing disease into our country. Another one is that maybe there's a bigger criminal element. But none of these myths stands up to reality. None of them can be proved by the statistics. So it seems to me that what we have to be concerned about now is anti-migrant sentiment that easily becomes racism or xenophobia. Now, the difficulty is getting people to understand that these are people who really are seeking a better life, but it's being driven by the global economic and financial crisis. It's being driven by the post 9/11 security preoccupation, and it's being driven by fear of loss of personal identity or loss of national identity. And we need to address this in a manner that will overcome these fears and help people to see the migrant for what they are, which is namely that migrants have been historically overwhelmingly positive elements in all of our societies, as we know.
Australia has found another way to deal with the so-called boat people question. They send them to another country. Now, does that work as a deterrent? Does that work, period?
I don't want to comment in detail on that program because it's something that is under discussion with several governments out there, and we will look at it also and see if there's any kind of a useful, positive role that one could play in that situation. But I think the main consideration has to be saving life and treating migrants in a humane, caring manner. And those are all criteria against which all programs will ultimately be judged.
One last question. Italy is now, the Italian government is reevaluating legislation which has been in place, that makes illegal immigration punishable by law, by fines, very heavy fines, and by detention, both for the person arriving and anyone who might be seen as helping them, and even a fisherman. Is that sort of legislation something that should be put in the trash can, should it be replaced by something more positive?
Clearly, our position at IOM has always been that irregular migrants, the numbers those who don't have proper papers, should not be considered a criminal act, and therefore migrants should not be criminalized. And it's important in terms of a high road scenario to realize that this is not a humane and good way in which to deal with migrants.
You made a distinction there between irregular and illegal. I find that very interesting.
Well, we've always used the word irregular because we don't consider them to be illegal. They're in an irregular status because they don't have proper papers. But when you use illegal, it almost sounds like they're not human beings, and we want to see the migrant first as a human being. And we think irregular is the more accurate and appropriate designation, so we've never used the term illegal migrants. That leads to thought processes that tends to criminalize migrants, which we'd like to avoid.